OpenServe is more than just SA's largest telecoms infrastructure provider. It's the answer to new ways of doing business. A connection to cutting-edge technology and infinite possibilities. A connection to tomorrow. Connect with us at openserve.co.za.
This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Rosebank in Johannesburg today to talk to Duduzile Mkwanazi, the CEO of Project Isizwe, the non-profit founded by Alan Knott Craig Jr. to provide low-cost or free Wi-Fi in communities that struggle to afford commercial broadband. Dudu, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Duncan.
How long have you been at Project Isizwe now, and what is your career background?
Okay, I'd have to count, but it's been almost 19 months now at Isizwe. And prior to this, I was in politics, so I worked for the Democratic Alliance straight after my master's, and then I came back, worked in the provincial office for the DA, and then moved to the city of Johannesburg, where I worked in the private office and the political office at the MMC of Shared Services as her operations manager.
Okay, so where did you study?
So I did my undergrad at Northwest University.
All right.
And my honors degree. So I studied political science and public administration. I think at that time, I believe my career was in politics, and somehow, I guess I had no idea what in politics, but I would have a career in politics. And so I did politics in my undergrad and politics in my honors. And when I finished my honors at Northwest, I then got the opportunity to go pursue my master's in the south of France. And I stayed in France for 18 months and then came back home.
Okay. So what was the passion for politics about? Why go into that field?
So it all actually is derived from my mantra about life and why we're all here. I believe we're all here to be of service to humanity. At least that's one way we get to realize our purpose. And at the time, I believed then for me to be of service to humanity was through politics. I had no idea how. I knew I did not want to be a politician because I did partake in a lot of student politics at the time at Northwest. So I realized I did not want to be on the side of a political activist. But I did want to serve
in politics. You wanted to be behind the scenes.
Yes, at that time. And so when I did my honors, I grew a huge interest in public policy. So when I got the scholarship from the French embassy to go and pursue my master's, I then chose the University of Montpellier to do my master's in public policy and comparative politics.
So why have you left the political arena?
I was poached by Alan.
Okay.
At the time, I had just become a young mom, and I was in the city of Johannesburg just shortly after the local elections. So it was really hectic, and working for the political office was amazing and had its own challenges as well. But I think 6 or 7 months later, I met with Alan, and he shared with me his dream of Isizwe and the work that he's been doing. And I thought I had always wanted to do something that brought me closer to the people. And Isizwe was a no-brainer for me.
Now, I must admit, I haven't followed Project Isizwe closely since Alan Knott Craig left the business to start HeroTel. Mm. The organization, I think, started by providing free Wi-Fi in Pretoria in partnership with the city of Tshwane. But that contract with the city ran into some controversy, I think, after the DA took control of the city at the last election. Please will you take us through the timelines of what happened through the course of that project and why Project Isizwe is no longer involved?
So the first ever project with Isizwe is actually in Stellenbosch, not necessarily in Tshwane.
Okay.
Yes. So it was with the city of Stellenbosch. We still have some of the hotspots there because our head office is still based in Stellenbosch at 156. And we have a little story about some man digging up there. So there's a little statue there. So the first ever project with DeCesa was in Stellenbosch. And then Alan obviously then did his presentation to the city of Tshwane. You must remember when Alan founded DeCesa in 2013, the idea of free Wi-Fi to be considered as a public utility for municipalities was unknown. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, it was still an idea, I would suppose, for those who were futuristic. They were open to taking the risk. So that is why DeCesa was then contracted under the MFMA, mainly because of our non-for-profit status. And that's how our relationship with Tshwane began. And the project between DeCesa and the city was of a service. So for the first 4 years, DeCesa was just rendering a service to the city. And we had the 11 phases of the contract. So it was, each phase was obviously structured differently. But the first 10 phases were saying DeCesa is providing as rendering a service, nothing else.
So the city would pay Project DeCesa to roll out the infrastructure
as a service. So what started as 25 hotspots grew into 250, which grew into 500, which grew to 1,050 hotspots, until then the local elections, the 2016 local elections, when the DA came on board, and, you know, as any other political party that takes over would sort of, you know, open the closets and just try to see what's going on. And the DA then reached out to DeCesa and said, well, the city's spending on the project has been flagged by the Auditor General as irregular. And how the Auditor General flagged it as irregular was because the project had spent X amount, and according to the Auditor General, it was rather a huge amount to be spent under the MFMA Act. Remember, and the MFMA provided that the whole spending would be in a form of a grant, not necessarily a tender project. So the Auditor General then gave her recommendations that perhaps that the city should consider taking the project on tender and to see if there's anyone willing to provide the service at a lower rate. And that's when we then started being in negotiations with the city of Tshwane. And we then came to an agreement to then end our contract on the 30th of June, which is this year.
So it's finished.
Yes. Okay. But the Wi-Fi, I believe, is still on in Tshwane. The city did go out on tender. You know, it was open for DeCesa to tender, but we chose not to tender for the project. I mean, for reasons such as we're a non-for-profit. One, the resources to then bid for tender, we don't have. And then two, the city wants to commercialize the Wi-Fi project in Tshwane. So that does not necessarily fall in line with our model. And we have learned so much from Tshwane for the past 5 years, and we just chose that to take all our learnings. And of course, it'll always be our flagship, because I believe DeCesa propelled the idea of free Wi-Fi being considered as a basic utility in other municipalities.
So it's the Wi-Fi is still operating there. Have they actually issued the tender in Tshwane?
Yes.
Who, so who won it?
Ulwembu. So there's a new service provider called Ulwembu that's running.
Is that a consortium or is it a...
I'm not sure, but I do know it's a for-profit company.
Right. Okay.
So I do know.
So is it
no
longer free Wi-Fi then? Is it subsidized Wi-Fi? How does it work?
I'm not sure. We did not tender, as I said, so we weren't necessarily privy to a lot of details around the business model moving on. But we did do a formal handover with the city and with the new service provider.
So you weren't prepared to consider changing your business model?
I mean, we were asked so many times if we would. But the reason DeCesa is a non-for-profit is actually because of the advocacy element of our work. So there's a lot of people post-2013, a lot of telcos and ISPs doing what we're doing, you know, putting up free Wi-Fi hotspots either through malls or airports. But what makes us different from other people is our advocacy leg of the business, and that we're taking these stories of people connecting and we're able to then use it as part of our advocacy. you know, on other platforms to advocate that people in low-income communities are actually using the internet, and this is what they're using it for, and this is how it has impacted their lives. So to go back to the sponsor and say, yes, you're not going to get a return on investment on a monetary angle side of things, but you are impacting people's lives. And, you know, let's go back to the report written by the World Bank that, you know, broadband connectivity in low-income communities will lead to an increase of GDP, and we're able to then be the sound or mouthpiece of the community and say, this person started a business because of access to this. And that is our model. We enjoy advocating for internet access as a basic human right for people in low-income communities, and we enjoy taking these stories and sharing them not only with our government nationally, but also with other organizations internationally.
So what were some of your learnings out of the Chwane project? I mean, what were people using the hotspots for? How many people were using them?
Yeah, Chwane was just on another level. I mean, we had 1,050 hotspots. I remember one morning, just shortly after I joined Sizwe, so we have what we call a Gecko board for all our projects, and I went on the Tuane Gecko board. This was at 10 in the morning, and there was over 12,000 people online using the Wi-Fi, and that just blew me, that blew me away. And so that the network grew in such a way that by the time we had to hand over the project, we had to then start doing a 10 gig upgrade with the city, because the network was the usership on the network was growing at such a pace that the network itself was unable to withhold the number of users in Tuane.
So who owned the infrastructure?
So like I said in the beginning, the project was structured in a sense of different phases. Mm. So phase 1 till 10, the city was just paying for a service. Mm-hmm. Only phase 11 of the contract then said towards the termination or the end of the contract between the two parties, the Sizwe that is, and the city of Tuane, all infrastructure should be then accrued back to the city.
Everything from all the phases?
From all the phases. So that was what we did.
So the city now owns it?
The city now owns all the infrastructure. All the infrastructure on the high sites, all the hotspots, all the cameras. The city owns everything.
All right. So was that gifted to them, or was it? Did they purchase it from you?
It was after long 8 months of negotiations with the city. I mean, I was not there when all the contracts were signed, and neither was my COO, Tim Genders. So, and also the people who are now part of the administration and the political office were all these contracts were new to us. Mm. So a whole lot of multi-stakeholder negotiation had to happen before we reached the end date of the 30th of June. But the whole idea was, what was it in the best interest of the people of Tuane? And when we look back and he sat back as a CISO, we decided what was in the best interest was to then hand over all the infrastructure to the city. Because at the end of the day, it does not necessarily belong to the city, but it is used by the people of Tuane.
So are you happy with the situation in the city of Tuane now and the way it's been handled and where it's going?
Well, I'm happy that, you know, we handed over a working network. I'm happy that we did a smooth sailing handover process. I suppose we took our learnings from Tuane, and it was a smooth handover, and we took all our learnings. And Tuane will always be our flagship. You know, it's very interesting. Everywhere we go, I was part of an African Internet Governance program in Zanzibar about 10 days ago. And I met a gentleman from Togo, and he knows of Isizwe, but he knows of Isizwe through Tuane. So the reference will always be, you guys brought free Wi-Fi in the capital city. Mm-hmm. So it's always great to know what Tuane did for Project Isizwe.
So where to now? Where is Project Isizwe focusing now? Do you have, I mean, you mentioned Stellenbosch. Do you have other active networks around the country? And are you actively pursuing further rollouts with municipalities? Mm.
So we have a footprint in 5 provinces in the country. And all our projects are either funded by a private entity or public entity. This year we've launched two amazing projects, one with aware.org. They are also a non-for-profit, but they are a lobby school for underage drinking, anti-underage drinking. So they approached us and they said, well, we would like to use Wi-Fi as an enabler for anti-underage drinking intervention program. So we've rolled out 15 hotspots in Botshabelo in the Free State and 15 hotspots in Bushbuckridge in the Nelspruit. And so the idea when aware.org did their research in these two regions was that young people are saying, well, you know, we resort to underage drinking and teen pregnancy because there's no spots in recreation activities. And aware.org obviously does not have all the resources to build tennis courts and netball courts. But the idea is that the world is moving towards digitalization. And a lot of people in low-income communities and in rural areas are left out because of not being able to afford data. And therefore, not only does the digital divide grow in these areas, but the socioeconomic divide grows simultaneously as people are unable to connect. So aware.org then partnered with us to then use the Wi-Fi as an enabler. So they run their anti-underage drinking program on the Wi-Fi, and then the people are able to then benefit from a subsidized free Wi-Fi. And then we also have a project that we launched in June this year with Glencore Mine, the coal mine just outside of Johannesburg. Glencore reached out to us once again as part of their CSI initiative, and they said, we like to now spend on a CSI that will yield impact for the community and not just focus on certain groups, but that blankets the entire community, and that the whole community will say, well, you know, I've also, you know, used the Wi-Fi, and this is how it's helped me, thanks to Glencore. So we've connected two of their mining communities in Orris and in Pola. And just the stats and the users and the behavior of people in these two projects. I mean, Glencore's using it just solely as a CSI project, whereas Aware is using it as part of their intervention program. Two different organizations, but it's still the same impact on how people are then now suddenly been given this access to the internet through our project.
And what about municipal partnerships beyond Stellenbosch? Tuan is obviously no longer on the table, but have you rolled out with any other municipalities around the country, and are you interested in doing big projects with any municipalities?
Yeah, I mean, we're open to working with everyone. I was on a call sometime last week with another ISP in Senegal, and they're interested to partner with us to then subsidize a portion of their work and connect some of the low-income members, community members in Senegal. It's interesting. We do get municipalities write to us. What has been interesting now is municipalities in rural areas. About 2 months ago, I was invited by the municipality of Modjadji's Kloof outside in Limpopo. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're interested in, and I mean, it's a small municipality. When I got there, I thought, wow, this is interesting. So a lot of municipalities obviously know Obviously, and they do write to us and they say, well, we'd like to go out on tender as well, but we'd like for you to come on board and help us maybe, you know, on a consulting basis, or, you know, help us scope up the whole network. What do you understand or et cetera about how to build a network of this nature? So that is where we are with municipalities. I mean, a lot of municipalities are considering then going the route of commercializing the network. And we're happy to assist where we can. But where it sees where it is now moving forward is we've realized it's not the job of our government to bridge the digital divide. Everyone should get involved. And that is why we focused quite a lot during the last bit of our time in Tshwane and even now on fostering private partnerships, rather, with private companies running their businesses around these local communities, low-income communities, and just saying to them, these are the benefits of people being connected, and you running your business here, and this is how you can help impact the lives of these people. So the whole vision is that it's no longer the government's responsibility or the mobile network operator's responsibility to bridge the digital divide. Every South African who can or has the resources to do so should then also get a seat at the table.
I'm interested. ICASA, the communications regulator, recently finalized regulations around TV white space spectrum. Is that something you've looked at all? Is that something that's of interest to you in rolling out an alternative to Wi-Fi? I mean, there's a lot of excitement around using TV white space spectrum. This is the for the listeners, any listeners who don't know what this is, it's basically using the gaps between TV broadcasts to offer internet access. And we've got a set of regulations in place now to do this. Have you looked at those regulations? Is it something that Project Isizwe is interested in possibly deploying?
Definitely. So about 3 years ago, Project Isizwe did a proof of concept with Microsoft.
And you were involved in that?
Yes. To test the whole TV white space project. So we're again working with Microsoft to consider rolling out TV white space. I'm very passionate about rural communities, so we're working out with Microsoft to consider connecting, you know, very hilly rural communities around KZN and in Durban, and obviously through various means of funding. But then Microsoft would get on board as potential partners. But yes, we're very passionate to consider other means of connectivity where Wi-Fi isn't necessarily an ideal solution. Satellite is also another means of connectivity that we're considering. We just recently got into partnership with another IPP in the Northern Cape called Akiona. We'll only be rolling out a project with Akiona in the new year. Akiona is an independent power producer, and as part of their CSI, they want to connect a community in the Northern Cape, and we're looking to then use satellite as an option for connectivity in the Northern Cape.
So satellite for backhaul and then distributed via Wi-Fi?
Yes, that's the idea.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Microsoft relationship. Have you? Is there something tangible there at the moment?
We have a memorandum of understanding with Microsoft. But our relationship is very open and broad, and we're very grateful that Microsoft has kept the door open for Isizwe, and the event that we have any potential sponsors or any potential funders for a project that would partner with Microsoft. We have reached out to Microsoft as part of with regards to their content, because we have a content portal, and it's used a generic content portal. So what happens is when our users connect to the free Wi-Fi, they get redirected to a content portal. So in the instance of Glencore, it'll say, "Welcome to Glencore free Wi-Fi." Mm. So there's more information around Glencore, so that we use the portal for the sponsor to then be in touch with the communities. But we also then push local content or educational content onto the portal for our users. And we've reached out to Microsoft and asked if they could share more of their content so we can put it onto our generic content portal.
Is there an opportunity? I'm just thinking of a commercial, more of a commercial model. A lot of the companies you're working with are doing this on a CSI basis. But, I mean, would there be an argument to be made maybe that a company like, a fast-moving consumer goods company like Unilever, for example, could work with you to offer free Wi-Fi in areas and use advertising for its products, like buy washing powder or whatever it happens to be.
So we've reached out to a lot of these companies who are selling products and say, well, you could use the free Wi-Fi to advertise. Unilever, not yet. I think we just try to figure out who would be the ideal person to speak to at Unilever. But the idea right now, Duncan, is that, yes, all these projects are subsidized either by a private entity or a public non-for-profit like the likes of Aware.org. Mm. But all of this has a timeline, right? And there's contracts with these sponsors. So what we are doing right now as Project Isizwe is to look at revenue, sustainable revenue models, that when the contracts end with sponsor A, for instance, we don't want these hotspots to then just become a white elephant in these communities, and people say, we were once connected through Project Isizwe, but you know, the funding ended and we're no longer connected. So we're working very hard and always looking for other partners in a form of advertising or other means to just, you know, get more revenue generations to sustain these projects beyond sponsorships.
Mm-hmm. Is Eleanor Craig Jr. still, I know he's not directly involved in the business anymore, but does he still show an interest? Does he keep in touch? Does he want to know what's
happening? He loves ECZ. Yeah. I mean, if you gave birth to the spring baby, you'd always keep in touch. Alan is not in the board of ECZ, so he does not hold any directorship in the board of ECZ. But as the founder, he is aware of what is happening at ECZ. We'll send him reports and we'll tag him on Twitter and Facebook.
All right.
And maybe we'll guilt trip him every now and then to, you know, give us leads on potential sponsors and funders. But he does not wear the ECZ hat anymore.
All right. Before I let you go, Dudu, where do you see this organization heading in the long term? What do you want Project ECZ to be in, say, 5 years from now?
Sure. The idea for ECZ, we started, and I like to say this, phase one is internet within a walking distance, right? Because where we are right now, internet access is unaffordable. For people in low-income communities, not for every South African, but for people in low-income communities. So phase two, we're members of WAPA, the Wireless Associations for... So we're members of WAPA. So every time we then get sponsorship to roll out a free Wi-Fi, we do not then do the deployment. We will put it out there in WAPA, and any ISP that's closer to our location would then be our implementation partner. And the reason we did this post-Tuane was to not only to help to drive ISPs to get into the township and get internet access more affordable for people in low-income communities in-house. So the idea for ECZ is to connect the last mile, the last 48% of South Africans, and to make it affordable for people in low-income communities. I would look forward to 5 years from now having to visit my aunt who's in Katlehong, and she would pay $350 for uncapped, maybe, even if it's just a 2 meg. But the idea is that internet should be affordable for everyone.
Duduzile Mkwanazi is CEO of Project ECZ. Thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you, Duncan.